Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, January 17th, 2011, the day America honors Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330, and we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live here weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m., and the program re-airs from 7 to 8 p.m. on KJLL. On today's show, the first of our bi-weekly face-offs featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. And we'll also be hearing from Clarence Boykins of the Tucson Black Chamber of Commerce. He'll be giving us an update on the Dr. Martin Luther King Parade. We'll also check in with Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute senior scientist Dr. Melissa Lane, who will call the Buckmaster Show live from the ice in Antarctica. That ought to be interesting. More than a dozen local elected officials took a pledge on Friday to knock off the name-calling and nasty talk. It's the latest call for civility in the wake of the shooting January the 9th that claimed six lives and injured Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and a dozen others. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Buckmaster Show contributors Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And Paul Eckerstrom is here. He's the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He's also the current second vice chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Mr. Ash, it's been a very difficult 10 days, 10, 11 days. The feelings still very raw, aren't they?
They sure are. This is our neighborhood. These were our friends, and it just seems as though we've all kind of had our guts kicked in, and we're hoping and praying for the full recovery of all of the victims, and we're glad all of them appear to be moving along in that process. And Gabby Giffords has been a friend for, I guess, over 10 years. And even though we have, fought politically over that period of time, she is so smart, so totally ingrained in Southern Arizona, totally committed to her constituency. And such a great intellectual and such a great caring person. Whatever your political background is, you hope for her own personal return to full health, and hopefully that'll be as soon as possible.
Paul, I know it's very personal for you. Gabe Zimmerman, knew very well.
I knew Gabe. He came to me when I was the county chair back in the winter of 05, and was he's graduate of has a master's in social services and had done some of that work, but he really wanted to get involved in the political system. And he asked me if there was any jobs available, and I said, well, the county party wouldn't be gearing up for that election cycle in 06 until the summer. And I said, but if you really want to get involved in one of the congressional campaigns. Patty Weiss and Gabby Giffords were gearing up right then. And so he went over, and I said, pick your candidate and see and get a job with him. And he went over to Gabby Giffords' campaign and got a job, was a natural campaigner because he's so personable and a really quality person. It made natural sense when she won the congressional seat that he became the director of her constituent services. And by all accounts, everybody knew that her constituent services was incredibly outstanding because of Gabe Zimmerman. People say that she had the best constituency service in the country. Now, it's hard to quantify that. But I'll tell you, I believe that one of the major factors of why she survived this last reelection in a really difficult year for Democrats, in a difficult district for Democrats, was because of that strong constituent services that not only that she demanded, but that Gabe Zimmerman delivered. Because I'll give you a story. Daniel Graver, who ran her 2008 campaign, was working on the campaign. But Gabe Zimmerman was in the district office working one weekend He was really tired, and Daniel Graver said, "Gabe, just go home. This isn't a campaign. This is a regular job that you have." And he goes to Daniel Graver. He says, "You know, Daniel, if you take the weekend off, some phone calls don't get made to voters. If I take the weekend off, somebody might not have food on their table." Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of person Gabe was. So
it's 12 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. That was Paul Eckerstrom, and to my speaking with us also at the table, Bruce Ash. The call
you
now.
You didn't want to say to your left.
I know.
Did
you? I did. Boy, you read my mind. I'm at this little bitty table here, and
we'll
you
have
are
to correct that.
Yeah,
the next
we'll
time
the
around.
Next time we put you to my left, and we've got Paul Eckerstrom to my right. So I think it needs to go back the other way around. It's 529-3508. If anyone wants to call in on the Buckmaster Show live line. But now, of course, the talk is turning, Bruce Ash, to civility. Is it possible to bring back civility to politics in this country and Arizona?
That's a great question, because a lot of people have asked it over not just the last week or so, but over a longer period of time. Where has civility gone? Where have the times gone when let's say Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill could, you know, beat each other's brains out all day long in a congressional bill fight, yet get together and have a drink at the White House or up in Tip's private office? I don't see here in Tucson, Arizona, that kind of vitriol that has been described. And I think that there are two parts about this tragedy that I have the greatest concern about. One is that potentially our elected leaders may be further isolated from voters and from their constituents, people that they are elected to help. And two, that in the name of civility, we will have foregone the possibility of having honest discussions with one another. Now, Paul and I agree on some things politically. Those that we don't, I think we go at it and have gone at it pretty extensively.
Yeah, but I think over the years on the TV side, you two would go at it pretty heavily. But, I mean, you weren't calling Paul names. And
no.
Paul wasn't calling you anything really nasty. And as I recall, gentlemen, after those TV interviews, you would walk out to the parking garage together, and you usually shook hands.
Yeah, we always shook hands.
It wasn't just shaking hands. I mean, Bruce and I would discuss the issues even as we walked out, and
yeah.
I did that with John Munger as well. And,
yeah.
And it's amazing to me that, you know, and Bruce said it, we do agree on certain things. I remember when we were talking immigration reform, there's some common ground on a very difficult issue, and I think part of the problem is a lot of the politics of this and the vitriol that has been out there in the country politically makes it more difficult for the two sides to really come together on things they do agree on. And a perfect example of that is I worked for Mo Udall years ago, and when I was in Washington as an intern, I watched Mo Udall and John Rhodes and Barry Goldwater and their staffs. They worked together. They were all personal friends. They were personal friends. And so there wasn't that same animosity. They disagreed vehemently on the things they disagreed about, but they did it civilly, and they were friends. And so when things that they could agree on, they got things done for Arizona because of that. And I think that's lacking now, that personal relationships between people. I do commend Mo's son, Mark Udall, who's now a senator in Colorado, for calling for the Republicans and Democrats at the State of the Union address to sit together and mix it up. I think that's a good symbolic first step, and I would hope that they would continue in that kind of not only symbolism but in their personal lives get together, because I think that's lacking right now, because people have to get back to their districts all the time and raise money for their reelection. There isn't as much of that personal contact between each other so that they can call themselves friends, and they won't call themselves names if that's the case.
There may actually be more friendships and civil behavior than what we read about, you know, or see on TV. I was just with Millie Hallow, who is with the NRA, and you know, for a conservative like me, I scratched my head, Millie, and with Gabby, and they happen to be close personal friends and do lots of things together. And you know, and Gabby, you know, is also a Second Amendment person, and she's, you know, been rated pretty high on that over the years. The great concern is can we, as a country, talk about the issues and not give up our personal rights of speech? And will we, as John Stuart Mill said, exert our rights to the point where our elbow, and I'm paraphrasing a little out of context, where our elbow won't hit our neighbor in the nose? Because I think it's okay, you know, like a good basketball game for elbows to be flying. You know, that's fair play. But when you hit your neighbor in the nose, that I think is where the rubber hits the road.
And Paul, hold that thought. We're going to take a commercial break. It's about 17 minutes past 9 on the Buckmaster Show. 529-3508, the Buckmaster Show hotline. Call now.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It's 20 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash are with us. And they'll be on at least once a month on the Buckmaster Show. They'll be part of our Buckmaster Show commentary teams. The other team will be John Munger, and Vince Robigo. You were about to say, Paul Eckerstrom, before we took the break.
Yeah, you know, I think today's Martin Luther King Day, and I think his politics is a shining example of the way politics should be done, along with Gandhi. And if you want to go back even further in history, even Jesus, for all our Christian listeners out there, which is you can challenge the status quo and create social change and challenge the establishment through a peaceful, loving manner rather than, a violent, angry manner. And I think we would honor Martin Luther King's memory if we put our politics back on that course. And so, you know, I just thought this being Martin Luther King Day, I was thinking about that driving over about, yeah, if we could just do politics like he envisioned and did and practiced, Gandhi, you know, as well in recent history, we would be a much better place politically in our political discourse in the future.
How is this going to change the session that just got underway up in Phoenix, Bruce Ash? Do you think it will change?
That's a good question. My hope has been from the very beginning that the legislature, both Democrats as well as Republicans, would focus on the budget, before they initiated other areas. So, there's certainly going to be some wide disagreement of how they might do that, and there may even be some disagreement within the Republican Party at this time on how to do that. But I don't think that we're going to find some of the issues that have divided America over the past several years, illegal immigration and war and peace sort of driving the issue. I think this is going to be how we best fix the budget and how we do so in a fair and comprehensive fashion.
You know, I one thing I would hope that the state legislature focuses on during the budget process is how woefully we spend money on our mental health services, because I think this particular situation pointed out our lack of taking care of the mentally ill in this state and this country.
How are our mental health laws compared to other states,
Paul? We have a very good law that allows people, it's only two states that do it, us in Virginia, that allow anybody to, if they see really strange behavior in somebody that looks dangerous, to ask that they be given a mental health evaluation on possible commitment, and the police would actually come out and take them into custody and actually go through that mental health evaluation process, which is, I think, a good thing. Unfortunately, that wasn't used in this particular situation. It could have been. The only problem is the services out there are so woefully inadequate after the fact that we lose track of people. Most of our homeless are mentally ill. Many of our people that get involved in the criminal justice system are mentally ill when they should be getting the care that they need. And if they get care, can be productive members of society. The problem is, and I know Jan Brewer even commented, the cuts that she did to the mental health services this last budget cycle, she hated doing it because of the fact that she has mental illness in her family, and she knows how important those services are. I know it's a very difficult budget, but it's something that we should actually look at. We are last in the country in funding of mental health services, unfortunately.
Are we not last in anything?
Well, it seems that way, isn't it?
Paul, every time we're together, we never get to say, we're number one.
I know. I wish we could.
So cutbacks certainly have hurt, haven't they, in the mental health area, Bruce?
Yeah, of course.
Or is that hard to define?
No, I don't think it's hard to define. I mean, anybody walking down the street certainly notices, in the past 10 or 15 years since sort of, and this was pre-budget cuts, this was really sort of a entire philosophy and a way that the mental health industry sort of went. They wanted to deinstitutionalize a lot of folks and have them in the general population being treated, medicated, and so on. And Paul's right about most of the homeless, or many of the homeless, probably having some sort of mental issues. The whole business that we need to be focusing on here at the state of Arizona is what's happened in places like Texas and Virginia, and what I think will happen in Wisconsin and Ohio and other states upcoming, where through promotion of new business and through the ability for business to operate in a more profitable sort of a fashion, obviously, and I'm sure Paul would endorse this, with the public protection in mind, but doing things that allow more businesses, more jobs to be created, is going to create more taxes for the revenue for the entire state without hopefully having to you know, gore somebody. In Illinois, they just raised income taxes and corporate taxes. I think it was like 67 and 75% across the board. And it's a shame because those same jobs are probably going to go to lower tax states like Indiana, who, interestingly enough, has not had much of a budget issue because they have done things to make the state more business friendly. We talk about it here. People, I think, generally have a view that Arizona is business friendly until they get here and they see all of the hurdles and the roadblocks that they have to do. And of course, anybody who is here in business knows all of the various hoops we jump through.
You know, I think we're onto something here in terms of the tax structure of this state isn't particularly business friendly, but it isn't particularly friendly in terms of being able to raise revenue either for our public schools, for mental health, things of that nature, priorities that people demand that we do as a government. And what I would like to see is a whole refashioning of the tax
code.
I mean, basically get rid of, it's been Christmas treed up with exemptions for this group or that group or this business or that business at the detriment of other businesses. If we would just start from ground zero and rebuild it in a more fair fashion, it would not only broaden the tax base, but we would be able to lower tax rates as well.
So would you endorse,
and still have more revenue. Mm-hmm.
So would you endorse Frank Antonori's tax plan?
No,
which essentially does exactly what you're talking about.
I don't believe in a flat tax program. I believe in a simplified, a progressive income tax, but that it not be Christmas treed with a whole bunch of exemptions, thereby putting more and more burden on the people who still pay the taxes and don't fall on those exemptions. If you broaden that tax base out, you can reduce the rates and still raise more revenue. I do believe in a progressive tax system and not a flat tax. I think that predominantly hits the middle class harder than people in the wealthy class. But ultimately, though, I do think we need a simplification, a broadening of the tax base, but a reduction of the rates.
Got about 30 seconds left. Final comment.
Well, I think, Paul, the real focus is the progressive tax rates are, by definition, going to have all kinds of these, you call them what you want, you know, exemptions and deductions and what have you that benefit one group over another. The flat tax would keep things as simple as possible. I'm not there yet myself, but I think it's at least an idea that we have to consider.
I think simplification is actually the words I think we both agree on. It. We need to simplify it, and thereby I think you get more revenue, and thereby I think you also can reduce the rates overall.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. Buckmaster Show contributors Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. And it was a delight having you two gentlemen here on this Martin Luther King Day. And Martin Luther King is our focus next.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back. CNN News is next.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt. Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Apple Computer CEO Steve Jobs is taking a second medical leave of absence in 2 years. CNN's Matt Cherry reports there's some mystery surrounding this announcement.
Back in 2004, he announced he'd been diagnosed with a less aggressive type of pancreatic cancer. He had a liver transplant then in 2009. It's unclear what this latest leave of absence is for.
We had reports last hour of Miami-Dade police responding to possible explosives aboard an airliner, but now American Airlines says some boxes that raised suspicions were found to be empty and no explosives were found. A court in Yemen has sentenced American-born militant Anwar al-Awlaki to 10 years in prison, but it did so in absentia because no one knows exactly where he is. Al-Awlaki is said to be a top al-Qaeda operative in Yemen. The Alaska pipeline is expected to be back to full operation this week after it was shut down earlier this month because of an oil leak. Average output is about 642,000 barrels a day. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on Glidden paint. For just 4 days, 1 gallon cans of premium interior flat start at just $12.97. Well, there's a bright idea for your long weekend, spreading your money further to spread color all over your home. We're lowering the cost of new rooms with a special buy on Glidden paint starting at just $12.97 for just 4 days. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through January 17th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on Glidden paint. For just 4 days, 1 gallon cans of premium interior flat start at just $12.97. Well, there's a bright idea for your long weekend, spreading your money further to spread color all over your home. We're lowering the cost of new rooms with a special buy on Glidden paint starting at just $12.97 for just 4 days. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through January 17th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. Coming up on 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, we are live from 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, on KJLL AM 1330, and the show re-airs at 7 to 8 in the evening, and of course, on the web, we are at www.buckmastershow.com. We have all the shows from the first 2 weeks archived, very simple and easy to use website. You can listen to the program 24/7 at your leisure. Of course, the federal holiday honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is taking on added meaning for many Americans this year as we all try to make sense of the violence here in Tucson that left 6 people dead and Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords severely injured. The Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona is encouraging people with free time today to join one of several projects that benefit the public. The organization is following the Corporation for National and Community Service-led MLK Day of Service, which leads hundreds of thousands of volunteers across the country to join projects. And we now join on the Buckmaster Show live line, Michelle Lesko. Michelle is from the Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Tell us about how this came about and what type of projects do you have in mind for people?
Sure. Well, in 1994, Congress changed the MLK Day holiday to a national day of service. So now it's technically called the King Day of Service, which is a day on and not a day off, as the slogan goes. So each year, the Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona plays a major role in both kind of coordinating community-based projects and leading some on our own here at the Volunteer Center to engage both national service members, the larger community, and anyone who wants to come out to honor Dr. King or strengthen their community through service. So this year we have quite a few projects going on. We have four taking place here at the Volunteer Center, which are actually filled to capacity already. But there are also projects going on throughout Southern Arizona in Sierra Vista, in Wilcox. There were some in Amado over the weekend. And the Girl Scout Saguaro Council has a pretty large day of service over there at their headquarters, which is still accepting volunteers from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today.
Yeah, there are some projects still going on into the that will go on into the afternoon. The Tucson Audubon Society has a buffle grass removal going on at Julian Wash. Can they still use people up to noon, do you know?
I believe they can. That project is pretty cool. They're engaging quite a few middle schoolers in learning about sustainability and invasive species, but I believe they could still use some down there. I would go ahead and call ahead to the number that you can find on the website, the Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona website, volunteersoaz.org, just in case.
And if you're in the vicinity of the Tucson Mountains until 1:45 this afternoon, the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum has another of the buffle grass removal projects going on.
Yes, and those are always very pretty because you get to be up in the mountains, and they could always use more volunteers. They have those projects year-round.
If you're in the vicinity of Tohono O'Toole Park, one of our favorite areas here in the Tucson area, until noon today, you can help them take down the Christmas lights. They can always use that assistance, can't they?
Absolutely.
Also, tell us about the Volunteer Center. How does someone get involved with volunteering here in our community?
Well, there are quite a few ways. The Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona, our mission is to inspire, prepare, and mobilize people and organizations to strengthen their communities through service. So the major way in which we do that is through our website, volunteersoaz.org. There's a search engine where community organizations can post volunteer opportunities to help meet the needs they have. And community members, individuals from throughout Southern Arizona can go onto the website and utilize that search engine to find opportunities that really match their interests, both through the skills they have and want to share with the community and through their interest areas, their, you know, whether it be working with children and youth, whether it be helping the environment or combating homelessness and things like that.
Michelle Lesko from the Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show today.
Thank you for having us.
As we mark the 25th anniversary of the King holiday. Good luck to you. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. In a moment, we're going to be going to Clarence Boykins. Mr. Boykins is the head of the Tucson Southern Arizona Black Chamber of Commerce, and one of the big events on Martin Luther King Day here is, of course, the annual parade, and this year's theme of the parade is Power of a Dream, and we'll be going to Mr. Boykins here very shortly. As I mentioned, this is, of course, the 25th anniversary of the King holiday here in Arizona, a state that once resisted the notion of a federal King holiday. Last year was the setting for a sharp-tongued debate on immigration. Now this state finds itself in search of solace after the January 8th attack. Let's go to Clarence Boykins. Mr. Boykins, thanks for being with us. How's the march going?
March is going perfectly. We're just turning off Campbell on Broadway.
Talk to me, Mr. Boykins, about the special significance of this year's event in light of the terrible events here in Tucson over the last 10 days.
Well, you know, one of the things that strikingly so is that such a tragic event would happen right on the eve of the MLK celebration, whose nonviolence was the only way. And the fact that we find ourselves still there means that we still have a ways to go in achieving that dream that we've been working so hard to do.
I know you know Congresswoman Giffords very well.
Very well.
Mr. Boykins, talk a bit about your own personal feelings when you first heard this news a week ago last Saturday.
Well, you know, it was just devastating, and a part of that because I was on my way going over there, but I stopped to get a breakfast burrow first, and it took a while. And so by the time I got started again, the event had unfolded and was going on, and I was shocked because there's no reason, there's no reason that anyone should want to attack a Gabby Gifford person. Her whole demeanor, her whole way of life, and everything she worked for says that that's not something that made any sense whatsoever. She was a consensus builder from both sides, so I was devastated with that because, you know, and when she campaigned for Congress in 06, I was running for the state legislature, so we spent a lot of time on the campaign trail over in that district.
So are you saying that you were on your way to that Congress on Your Corner event?
I was going to go, yes. Because I try to always show up when she's having, you know, when events are going on, but I stopped to do something. I was running late, and then I stopped to get a burrow from one of our places, and it just took a little bit longer. And so I figured, well, by the time I get there, it would have been over. She would have been finished. So it was like, okay, I'll just catch the next one. And I went to my office to do some work.
Tell me about the mood of this year's parade. Are folks low-key, or is there a feeling of optimism out there?
Well, it's a little of both. I see it all, you know. There's some people with a lot of optimism, and they're smiling, and they're cheerful. And then there's some people who still have some skepticism and distrust.
You know, many, Mr. Boykins, use this holiday to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's life and struggle for human rights. Do you advocate folks get out, and we're just speaking with the Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona. How do you think people should spend this day?
Well, you know, I think that they should come out, and this is an opportunity for them to come out, express their feelings, because we get where we want to go by communication. We get where we want to go by exchange of ideas and thoughts from each other, recognizing and embracing that even within a culture, there are differences. And that's important to recognize that we're not all the same, even though we might even be the same color. We're still different, and we only learn that difference through communicating, getting together, and sharing important moments.
Dr. King's words were often met, as you know, with hate and resistance during one of the nation's most turbulent and transformation eras. How would Dr. King be looking at today's events, Mr. Boykins?
You know, he would be saddened that such an event happened. But at the same time, I feel very confident that the progress that we made, and that's what we call the power of a dream, the things that have occurred from that point in time when he first uttered those words about his vision for America, I think he'd still be pleased.
The Tucson Southern Arizona Black Chamber of Commerce continues to grow. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing over there.
Well, you know, we just started a school called Ubuntu, and Ubuntu is an African word that means I am because you are. The kids 14 to 18 years old, to begin to teach them the principle of citizenship, social entrepreneur, business entrepreneur, and environmental skills. And we want those kids to know and learn that, first of all, they have a responsibility to their community, to work, and more importantly, that there's no position in this country that they can ever hold that's more important than being a citizen.
How do you think the business community is going to react to what has happened here over this Tucson tragedy?
Well, I think they're poised to move forward. I think when the president was here, he set the tone. And I think we're going to have a good year. out of this tragedy, I think some great good will occur.
Tell us a bit about here as we wrap this up, Clarence Boykins. How long will folks be able to come out there, and where are you located?
We're going to be at the Meester Performing Center, and we're there from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock today.
And you've got
there'll be entertainment. There'll be speeches. There'll be food. There'll be a lot of great things.
So you've got activities for the whole family out there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Clarence Boykins, thank you very much for talking with us at the MLK Parade. And this year's theme is Power of a Dream. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This is the Buckmaster Show, and we are coming up now on about 47 minutes past the hour. Next, a visit to Antarctica.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinkaverde, at the southwest corner of Tinkaverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinkaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinkaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Coming up now on 49 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. And next on the Buckmaster Show, we go via the Buckmaster Show live line all the way to Antarctica, where Melissa Lane is hunting meteorites. Dr. Lane is a senior scientist at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, and she's involved with the Mars Odyssey mission. And we're going to go now to Dr. Lane in Antarctica. How's the weather down there, Dr. Lane?
Good morning. Well, the weather here is pretty nice today. Yesterday and the night before, the winds were really howling, and it was pretty furious during the night. But the winds are much, much calmer today. And our temperatures here where I'm sitting at the La Paz ice sheet are about 14 degrees Fahrenheit. That is actually very warm for us compared to where we spent the earlier part of the field season.
Well, this is actually the summer, of course, season, and I think that as I did my research for this interview, isn't January the warmest month of the year down there?
Yes, it is. Yeah, our summer, the height of summer here is obviously December 21st in the Southern Hemisphere, so that's why field seasons are deployed during our northern winter months. But it's the best time of the year down here. And we have sunlight 24 hours a day, so we have to follow the clock and make sure we don't work too many long hours down here so that we get our sleep and we stay on a normal work schedule.
And I think you follow a New Zealand standard time, so I guess it's about 5 hours earlier than Tucson, correct?
Well, it's already Tuesday for us here, and it's just before 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so it's not that early for you, especially when the sun is shining 24 hours a day. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing down there.
Okay, well, I came down here with a group that is sponsored by the National Science Foundation and also by NASA to come down to the ice fields here in Antarctica to search for meteorites. This is a really good place to look for meteorites because on the ice fields, we don't have a lot of terrestrial rocks or earth-based rocks contaminating the sample. So in certain places, when we drive our snowmobiles around to look for meteorites, anything that is dark on the ice is usually from space, a space rock. Now, we were at the La Paz ice field a few weeks ago, which is higher in elevation, and that had no terrestrial mountains around it, and that was a very easy project to find the meteorites there. But here at the Patuxent Range where I am, we're at about 3,500 feet in elevation, and there's a lot more mountain ranges around us, so we do have to sift through some earth-based rock a little bit too and try to discriminate a rock that came from space from the rocks that are around here. And to do that, we often look at their size and shape, because the earth rocks that are around here are more like slates and shales, and they're fairly platey. But the rocks that come in from space are often rounded a little bit, because as they're burning through the atmosphere, a lot of the corners of the rock burn off. And they're black from, basically, they're being toasted on the way down. And so the color gives it away, and the shape gives it away, and they sometimes have a sheen. So that's how we're discriminating the meteorites from the local rock here.
We're speaking with Melissa Lane. Dr. Lane is a senior scientist at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, but right now she is a long way from Tucson, Arizona, on the ice sheet out in Antarctica. How far? So you take your ice mobiles out to the ice sheet. How far are you from the permanent American station at McMurdo Station?
Well, we're actually closer to the South Pole Station, which is about 300 miles, everything. South Pole is obviously south of us here, but the way to imagine where we are on a map is if you would go from the South Pole 300 miles toward the South American continent. That's basically the direction we are from the South Pole. So McMurdo is off to our off on the coast, and we're probably about 500 miles from the McMurdo Station, but we're closer to South Pole. And we actually took a C-130 flight from McMurdo Station to South Pole Station before we deployed to the field. Because then from the South Pole, we took Twin Otters, which are two engine planes, to our field site, because the larger C-130s can't land as remotely in the field as we are. So we had to take smaller planes to carry our snowmobiles and us and all of our camping equipment.
And I understand your tent mate down there is an astronaut who's also participating in this meteorite hunt.
Yes, he's a medical doctor and an astronaut.
We're losing a little bit of the connection from Antarctica, and we were expecting that the phone line might be a little bad. And Rose, did we lose Dr. Lane? We did lose Dr. Lane, but hopefully she will call us back. And as she said, she's about, I think she said 500 miles from McMurdo Station, which is located at 77 degrees, 166 degrees east, 77 degrees south and 166 degrees east. And it's the largest Antarctic station. We were just talking with Dr. Lane about her work that is connected with hunting for meteorites and her association with the Mars Odyssey mission. She is the senior scientist here at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, and I think she has called us back from Antarctica, and we will be having Dr. Lane on us, and she is back with us. Dr. Lane, thanks for rejoining us.
Sure. Yeah, we're using a satellite phone because we are so remote out here, and sometimes the satellite handover drops our calls.
Okay, we've only got about 3 minutes, and we do want to get a little more into the connection between Mars and the meteorites that you and your team do find and analyze down there.
Yes. Okay. Well, the meteorites that we've been finding so far, a lot of them are ordinary chondrites, which are the most common type of meteorite, and they are more representative of asteroids. But on occasion, we find sort of the holy grail down here of meteorites, and sometimes those meteorites are from the moon or from Mars. And, when we find a Martian meteorite, it's very exciting. And the way we know, especially for me, because I'm a Mars scientist foremost. That's sort of my specialty. And so it's very exciting when we find that. And oftentimes you recognize them as something else, but it's not until the lab at the Johnson Space Center does their full analysis that we actually know that it is from Mars. But the way we know the Martian meteorites are from Mars and not from some other planet is that there are little air vesicles, little air bubbles that are trapped in the stone, in the meteorite. And early on, we have been able to match up the atmosphere that we find in those little bubbles with the atmosphere that was measured by the Viking landers in the 1970s. So that was the way Martian meteorites were first recognized, was by the atmospheric composition in those trapped bubbles.
And only got about a minute left, Dr. Lane, but what percentage of the meteorites that you do find have some kind of connection to the red planet?
Well, it's a very small number. I would give it about a 1%, something on that order. It's a very small amount of the meteorites are from Mars. But when we find those, we're very excited because it's like sending a lander to that part of the planet. So we have more information from the surface of another planet.
So typically your work day, since the sun is out 24 hours a day, it's kind of hard. Is it difficult to get a good night's sleep down there?
Well, we wear eye shades, so it's not too hard. We just hunker down in our sleeping bags, which are actually just on foam pads, and then we just sitting on the ice, but they're warm enough when you have some insulation between you and the ice, and we wear a hat to bed to keep our head warm and eye shades, so it's not too hard to fall asleep here.
Well, it's been a delight talking to you on a 14-degree Fahrenheit day on the ice shield in Antarctica. That's not too bad, considering it's the middle of summer down in Antarctica. Melissa Lane, good luck to you in your hunt for meteorites. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Okay.
Bye from the ice sheet.
Bye-bye. Dr. Melissa Lane, what a delight. Senior scientist at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. She's involved with the Mars Odyssey mission, and she was speaking with us from the ice sheet in Antarctica as she hunts for meteorites and looks for that connection to Mars, looking for the meteorites that came from Mars. That's going to do it on a Monday, Martin Luther King Day. I'm Bill Buckmaster. This is The Buckmaster Show. We are live 9 to 10, Monday through Friday. The show re-airs from 7 to 8 in the evening, and we're always on the web at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL, South Tucson.